Each of the miracles of Jesus is not only a thing, but also a sign. Not only an historical event, but also a teaching that always points beyond itself. And each one of the miracles of Jesus teaches us some profound spiritual principle that we should put into practice in our own lives today. The principle dramatically illustrated by the miracle of the feeding 5,000 people may be called the loaves and fishes principle. It is very simple. When we give something to God, as one little boy gave his lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, then God will always multiply it, and we get it back many times over. This one meal became 5,000 meals. Now that is the very same principle that Jesus spoke of when he said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, then it bears much fruit. And when he said, he who would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now remember, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said those words right after the miracle of the loaves and fishes. We could also call it the death and resurrection principle. God resurrects to life whatever we give up to him, whatever we let die for him. C.S. Lewis calls it the principle of first and second things. If we put first things first and let second things remain second, then we get in our lives not only first things, but also second things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added unto you. So has our God promised us. But if we put first things second and second things first, then we will miss out on both. Nothing put in place of God ever works. Idolatry is always self-defeating. All idols break. Only God is God. Even great things are always second. Now let's look at some examples of that principle in our daily lives. Everyone knows that the only way to be successful in business is to take risks and invest your money. The miser always misses out on the very thing that he tries to hoard, his wealth. Only one who is willing to lose money can win it. It works in a family. To refuse to have any children at all for merely selfish reasons is to have your own name, your own family line, die out. But to sacrifice for your children, as parents do, is to ensure your own family survival and then to receive back many times over the love that you give to them in your lifetime. It works also for power. The way to lasting power is not the way of Hitler, but the way of Gandhi. Not the way of Alexander the Great, but the way of Jesus. Who has the greatest power in history? Not tyrants, but saints. Those very people who renounced, gave away power. Not those who grab after it. Mary gave up ordinary motherhood by her vow of virginity. What she got back from God was the greatest motherhood of all time. She became the mother of God, and then through Christ, she is now the mother of all Christians. And thereby we have the history of the body of Christ, the church, that extends the same principle into history because the church extends into history the Christ life. The essential task of the church is to spread the Christ life, to cast our bread upon the waters. And the little seed that is given, like the loaves and fishes, always will return, multiplied by millions. Now, the first and often the hardest application of this principle of the loaves and fishes to our lives is time. If we give God time, even 15 minutes a day for prayer and a few hours each week for works of charity, then a most startling miracle will become visible in our very own lives. We will discover that we have more time. I know that no one has enough time today. In this so-called great age of efficiency and technology, labor-saving devices, leisure apparently has been abolished, even leisure that is necessary for worship and prayer, which we do now. Everyone seems to be running around juggling dozens of things to do, and yet there is only one way out of this terrible time trap. Only one way for us to get more time. We need to go to the very source of all time. We need to go to the place where time is kept. That is eternity. Our God gives us time as a gift. He exchanges his time, which is our lifetime, for our time, clock time. Clock time is given to us by nature, but lived time is given to us by God. Everyone has the same amount of clock time, 24 hours each day. But some people seem to have more time for living, more lifetime than other people do, simply because they have learned the lesson of living in the presence of God through prayer once in a while. And they have learned how to give some of their time back to God, who then multiplies it for them. As a businessman said, on the very kind of day when it seems I have twice as much to do that I possibly can do, I know that I cannot afford not to take time for prayer. Take time for prayer, he said. And if ever we would doubt that, There's only one way to test it. In our own lives. Another application is money. Another thing that no one seems to have enough of, for the same reason. The more we grab after it, become like flies stuck to flypaper, we discover we are losing our freedom. You must remember in Scripture that Jesus spoke more about money than any other topic except the kingdom of God. Perhaps it is not really sex, nor hatred, nor violence, but it is money that is the hardest thing to handle. Try giving money away, and what happens? For one thing, we have less to spend on worldly goods. The first return for generosity is greater detachment, a new sense of freedom. And if you give the money to the good works that you should, that deed will bring new hope and gladness, more than buying more things for yourself. Now there is one caution in using this loaves and fishes principle with money. Do not use God as a stock market. Do not give money expecting a handsome return in money for your investment. That's what some television evangelists do when they take that line. The flow of blessings after you are generous sometimes might be what you expect and hope for, and sometimes not. That is not to be the motivation for which we are generous. How much will we get back? That is not the point we're talking about. Finally, our life. Our life itself, the gift of life, is the final application of the principle of the loaves and fishes. Give your life to God day in and day out. Learn how, as you become older, to abandon yourself to divine providence. And then, as St. Paul says, all things begin to work together for good. Our personality, our individuality, all of this must be given up if we expect it to be multiplied. If we keep to ourselves selfishly, we will never grow. If we allow God to sculpture our personalities for us, then eventually the pieces come together and we become whole or integrated personalities. The people that we call mystics who discovered that mystery carry the principle all the way. Someone like St. Paul, who said, "With Christ I am nailed to the cross, but yet I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me." What he means is that our very ego dies. The I is crossed out like a cross. And then the true self, the self that God designed for us to become, is able to bud forth. We are then able to become what God intended us to become. The self exists to be abdicated, and by that very abdication becomes more truly self. That is the application of the words that each of us repeat at our baptismal promise renewal. With Christ I am nailed to the cross, yet now I live, not I, but now Christ lives in each one of us.